It's hour two of the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner here with you. We will kick off hour one here with friend Cole Manbeck joining the show in just a couple minutes. Mitch has his Jabroni of the Week as well. And be listening here this hour. I mentioned this earlier in the show, but we're going to start getting people registered this week for a giveaway that we'll have on Friday. It will be for four passes to Royals Fan Fest, where you can meet a bunch of the players. And I think Ned Yost, Dayton Moore potentially as well. Not only do you get the four passes, you get a hotel room, and you get $100 worth of Jack Stack barbecue. So we'll register one person, pick from the five people that we get throughout the week on Friday in the second hour of the show as well. Try and come up with something creative, I suppose, for that. I don't know if you got anything. I haven't thought that far down the road
nope.
at this point in time.
Take things one segment at a time.
Great. All right. Well, we'll talk some K-State hoops here with Cole Manbeck. Once we get him on the line, you can always tweet your questions or comments to the game, KMAN. Appreciate everybody that responded to the poll yesterday. If you think K-State's going to the NCAA tournament, the final results on that, because I did give it 24 hours, the final results on that came out basically the same way that it was trending yesterday, and that is that 61% think that K-State is not going to the NCAA tournament after a 2-3 start to Big 12 play. So welcome in, Cole Manbeck, to the show. Cole, bigger disappointment last week, the Texas Tech loss or the Baylor loss?
I would say Texas Tech. When we talked last week, I expected K-State to lose to Texas Tech and then actually defeat Baylor at home. So it was kind of the reverse of what I thought in terms of disappointment. But to have Texas Tech in that situation, to be up by four with the ball with less than 2 minutes left in the game, and to not close out another road game, I think that's the bigger disappointment, because the game was right there in your hands. And it's just another issue with winning away from home, winning a close game. I just think that's a sign of, a trend that we've seen now over 3 or 4 years that's an issue, and that's why it's a bigger disappointment to me to see that continue.
So how do they go about getting over this? Because, we're going to talk about Oklahoma State plenty. Seems like a huge game, seems like a game that's going to be close, and we know that it's a game that's on the road. How do you, at this point, reverse that trend?
Yeah, it's a good question. I wish I knew, because it feels like it's become a mental hurdle. And, the Texas Tech game, it's disappointing, because when you're watching the game, I know a lot of others, when they're watching it, are just kind of waiting for something to go wrong in those situations. And so, I was getting texts during that Texas Tech game, feel like we're going to lose this game, when K-State was up by seven, or a text from a friend that said this will be another close, heartbreaking loss. When K-State was up by four with less than 2 minutes left, everyone was predicting it. And that's the disheartening thing, is you just kind of feel like it's coming every time. Even when they're ahead on the road, you're just kind of waiting for what's going to go wrong next. And, the Tech game, you just felt like they were going to get over the hump. You got a 1-1 up four in that situation, and that's unfortunate. I don't know how they get over it. This is more than just a coincidence at this point. They're 1-8. In their last nine games dating back to last year, and games decided by 3 points or less, four games that went to overtime. And the one win was this year against Texas, which shouldn't even really count, because K-State was up by 10 with a minute left and kind of collapsed down the stretch to make it a three-point game. So I kind of look at it like they're 0-8 in games decided by 3 points or less or in overtime since last year, dating back to near the beginning of Big 12 play last season. So you got to close out these close games. I think the biggest issue... Look, when you lose close games, I think it comes down to two things. It comes down to coaching, and then it comes down to, do you have a playmaker, a guy that you can put the ball in his hands and know that you can go make a play? And I just don't think K-State has that.
Cole, one thing I wanted to ask you about from the Baylor game in particular, there's been a lot of discussion about the timeout that K-State elected to take after Xavier Sneed hit the three to give the Cats the lead in the second half. After the game, Bruce Weber did own up to it and say it was a mistake. Said that he basically called it because he didn't want his guys to get tired. What was your reaction when it first happened, and what did you make of what Bruce Weber had to say about it after the game?
Well, when I was watching the game on TV, I actually thought it was Baylor that called the timeout, so I was surprised to see that it was K-State that called it there after they took the lead. But when you go back and analyze the game and how it was going, I don't know how much momentum K-State had. That was the first time they'd scored in four possessions when Xavier Sneed hit that three on the baseline, and K-State called the timeout. So, they'd been struggling a little bit. The media timeout still hadn't hit. So it makes logical sense in that situation, I guess, to call the timeout. I don't know what happened after that timeout, because K-State just stopped playing defense, stopped rebounding the basketball, and stopped playing offense. I mean, it was just a complete collapse. And Baylor scored on 11 of their next 17 possessions after that timeout, and the only player for K-State to score after that timeout for a 9.5-minute period was B.J. Johnson on 2 layups. So those are the only 2 field goal attempts K-State made in a 9-minute-plus stretch. Everything kind of just went wrong for K-State after that. But as far as the timeout, Tyler, I didn't really have a huge issue with it because, like I said, I didn't feel it. It's not like K-State was on this 12-13-0 run and calling the timeout.
Cole Manbeck is with us, a member of the Powercat Game Day crew. I'll phrase it like this. Who do you think should be the guy that would take a shot in a close game down the stretch for K-State? If it's Oklahoma State tomorrow, it's a tie game, who are you going to have take that last shot? This is to your point about the team not really having a go-to guy. I mean, who do you want to take it right now?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing is when you ask me that question, I can't think of one guy that I would necessarily point to that I'd feel confident in doing it. But I'll give you a name. I think Dean Wade is probably the guy in that situation, even though I know he missed against KU, and he's kind of been the guy that has missed in those situations in the past. You know, the Texas game last year also missed, but the Georgia game at Georgia, he hit the game winner. I just think he's so versatile that he can be a pick-and-pop guy late in the game, but he can also be a guy that can post up. Like the Texas Tech game, that situation was a complete mess. You know, K-State needed to use a timeout there when Wesley Iwundu had the turnover with 20-plus seconds left because the spacing was a disaster, and they had 4 guys standing on the baseline stacked in the corners that gave Iwundu nowhere to go with the basketball. I don't know what K-State was trying to do there. They were trying to isolate, it looked like, but the floor spacing was really bad. So it was Iwundu's fault partially, but also his teammates' fault because they were just standing there in poor position on the offensive end. But to get back to your question, John, I mean, I think Dean Wade would probably be my choice, even though he's missed a few times in the past. Like, I think that's the guy you go to, but there's no clear-cut answer, and that's the problem.
Do you think that Barry Brown and his inconsistency, especially with three-point shooting, is one of the bigger concerns with this team at this point, or do you think Iwundu is a bigger issue?
Barry Brown's, you know, shooting technique isn't flawless by any means, and I think it leads to inconsistencies with his jump shot. So that's certainly a concern. It's concerning that Wesley Iwundu makes turnovers, but I just feel like he's such a valuable member to the team because, look, he's really not in the best position. He's kind of in an unfair position. He's running a lot of point guard for this team. I'll tell you what, you know, kind of off the question a little bit, Tyler, I think what the biggest problem with this team is not post depth necessarily. That's an issue. But I think the biggest issue is they don't have a true point guard. You know, I think Kamau Stokes is more of a two guard, to be completely honest with you. He's a scoring guard, more of a shooting guard. He can play point guard, but he's not a pure point guard, in my opinion. And so you've got Wesley Iwundu a lot of times at 6'8", bringing the ball up on the court because they trust him more. And to me, you need playmakers at the guard position in this game. And K-State doesn't have a guy that can just go get his shot usually at the end of a game when they need it. And I think that's really the biggest issue.
Cole Manbeck talking with us. I am like lockstep with you on that. I think at the end of a game, I would probably prefer trying to get the ball to Dean Wade, which was one part of the Texas Tech situation. He had fouled out, so you didn't have him available at that point in time. I loved what they did at Kansas, and it was just, you know, an inch away from working out with Dean on that shot. The problem is, if you're going to run like a ball screen pick and pop thing with Dean, you do have to have somebody else involved in that, and if they go take Dean Wade, it's going to come down to him to make the play. And right now, I don't think they trust anybody, like you said, to handle the basketball in those situations other than Wesley Iwundu. So you're almost pigeonholed there to having the ball in Wesley's hands at the end of a game just because he's the one guy that they trust to handle the ball, and it's been that way since he was a freshman.
Yeah, and, you know, I really liked the play at the end of the KU game. I know a lot of people wanted to go inside, but I thought K-State gave themselves a lot of options there. With Iwundu, if they don't hedge on him, he's got the option to drive. If they do hedge, he's got the option to kick it out to Wade for the jump shot. Wade also had the option to drive when he caught the ball, do a shot fake, and go to the basket. So, you know, he's got the tools to do that. So I thought that was well drawn out. I didn't really have an issue with that. And so I think maybe that's your combination. And if you had Dean Wade in Texas Tech game, that's kind of what you look to do. You kind of try and do some pick and pops with Awandu and Dean Wade. Like I said, you know, I think Awandu has been put in some unfair situations. Now he's making more mistakes that you wouldn't want from a senior, but I think he's been in some circumstances that aren't ideal. The reality is he shouldn't be the guy having to play point guard so much for this team, and really he is. And so he presents mismatches for other teams, and, you know, his ability to get to the basket is solid. So, you know, Wade and Awandu is probably what I would continue to go with there.
All right, having said all this about where things are at right now, said 61% of the people that voted in our poll yesterday think this team right now is not making the tournament. They're 2-3 in the Big 12. KenPom's predicting them to lose the next 4 and 7 of the next 8. I mean, are we at a tipping point already on this season with the game tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's a must-win. I know a lot of people say it's too early to characterize games by saying they're a must-win, but you win tomorrow, if you lose tomorrow's game, I think this thing starts to head south if it already hasn't. And so I think they need to go on the road and win this game. Otherwise, confidence is going to continue to go downward. You'll see the attitude of the fan base probably start to shift, especially going against Brad Underwood if he defeats K-State. And, look, I'll be completely honest with you. I know State's 0-5 in the Big 12, but I've watched them play several times this year because I really like Brad Underwood, and I think they're a better basketball team than K-State. And so while they're 0-5 in the league, they've been tested much more than K-State in the non-conference schedule. In the conference schedule, it's pretty equal, but maybe a little tougher for Oklahoma State. So while they're beaten down 0-5 in the league, I think they're going to come out desperate tomorrow looking for a win. With K-State's road struggles, they're now 6-36 over the last 4 years on the road, true road games. I can't pick K-State. I mean, I think Oklahoma State's going to win this game. And then the West Virginia game Saturday at home absolutely becomes a must-win if you lose tomorrow night, because you lose that game, you're dropping to 2-5 with your next road game at Iowa State, which we know how tough it is to win there.
Cole, and Cole Manbeck is with me here for just another couple moments on the game. With the thing with Oklahoma State comparing them and K-State, I was going to ask you, who do you favor in that game? You just tipped your hand there, but I think the reason you have to ask that question is because of the schedule that they have played so far in the Big 12. Road games against Texas, Baylor, and Kansas, and home games with West Virginia and Iowa State. If you flip-flop the schedules that K-State and Oklahoma State have played to this point in the Big 12, I think you're probably coming out about the same. Maybe K-State goes 1-4 against that schedule that I just listed off there for Oklahoma State, but I think it would be close to where the Cowboys are at right now at 0-5.
We're exactly on the same page there. I was actually going through that in my head earlier today. Look, if Oklahoma State got to play Texas and Oklahoma at home so far, they would probably have at least 2 wins, just like K-State does. But the reality is they had a more difficult stretch in their schedule. And then you look at their non-conference schedule. They played North Carolina. They went and won at Wichita State by 17. They played Georgetown and UConn. Now both those programs are having down years, but still they dominated both those teams and the non-con. So they've been much more tested than K-State. And I like their guard play. I think they have guys that can go out and make plays. And look, Oklahoma State can make the same argument that K-State can say about losing close games. I mean, if you run through Oklahoma State's schedule, they had Baylor on the ropes. You know, they were up late in that game. They lost by 4 at Baylor on the road. And then they were right there with KU, just like K-State was, losing that game by 7. They lost at Texas by 3. They lost at Maryland, a common opponent, 71-70. So just like K-State, they both lost by 1 point, except Oklahoma State's game was actually at Maryland and not a neutral court. So they've had some tough luck there with the outcomes of games, just like K-State. And that's why, really, when you look at it, I don't see that much of a difference between these two teams. I think Oklahoma State's a little better, actually, than K-State. And the fact that they're at home tilts the edge in their favor, in my opinion. I just think Oklahoma State will win that game tomorrow night.
Just crazy how long ago that game in Allen Fieldhouse for K-State seems with everything that has transpired since then. Cole, appreciate the time as always. We will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's Cole Manbeck, a member of the Powercat Game Day crew, Powercat Game Day blogger, former K-State beat writer for the Manhattan Mercury. Jabroni of the Week is at 550. When we come back, though, more K-State hoops. Tyler and I disagree on who the biggest key is to K-State getting the hoop season turned around. We'll discuss next.